The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us. By the way, what do you think happened in Baltimore early this morning? We had the video up on our website, toddstearns.com, and it is really jaw-dropping when you see what happened, that span, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, collapsing after that giant cargo ship slammed into one of the pilings. Now, right now, they're not saying much. We still don't know how many people were on the bridge. We know there were six workers that were doing some pothole repairs. We know that at least two people have been pulled from the water. One was not injured. The other was very seriously injured. That's how they described the injuries. And the whole thing was captured on video, multiple videos of the collapse and the collision. Now, we do have some updated information that I want to share with you. This coming from news reports that the people on board the ship actually did a mayday. They issued a mayday, and the way this is all going down is that the ship lost power, then the ship regained power, and then the power went out again, and that's when the ship slammed into the bridge. So people are beginning to speculate about what actually happened here, and there are some out there suggesting that maybe this was not an accident. Right now it's being investigated as an accident, but there are some people out there saying that the ship may have been hacked, and that's what led to the collision. In other words, this was all an intentional act. Now, this is important because the Port of Baltimore is one of the top ports in the nation, one of the top 10 ports in the nation, but it's also one of the, if not the top port for specialized cargo. And so right now, nothing's getting in, nothing's getting out. I mean, this is a massive catastrophe on a number of levels. The first and foremost, of course, is the loss of life and whoever may have been on that bridge when it collapsed. And we still don't know. There have been, the numbers have been all over the place, but they're saying as many as 20 people may be missing. We don't know. But they're out there searching, and at this point, it's probably going to be a recovery issue. But I'm curious to hear from you. You've had a chance to see the video. What do you see in that video? Is there anything that concerns you in that video, aside from the fact that a ship crashed into the bridge? Because when I saw it, and again, it's the angles of the angle of the video, it appears to me like this thing was intentionally directed into the path of that bridge. Now, that is my observation. And again, I don't know, with optics, it was dark. Something is not quite right there. But that is just my observation. We're going to be talking to Bruce Elliott, the co-host of The Warning Drive on WCBM in Baltimore. That is our affiliate there, and a little bit later on in the next hour of the show. But again, just based on my initial observation, and it could have been some sort of an optical thing. Maybe it's a mirage, but it looks as though it bypassed the piling and then came back around and slammed right into it. By the way, over 11 million vehicles a year cross that bridge. This is a major bridge in Baltimore. Now they're going to have to go through a tunnel into and out of. No shipping can get into or out of Baltimore. And that means that shipping containers now have to go north to New York or south to North Carolina. Now, Laura Logan, who was for a very long time with 60 Minutes CBS, now an investigative journalist on her own, said this: "Welcome to the world of cyber terrorism. According to intelligence sources, the Baltimore Bridge collapse was a 9/11 style attack, but they will not admit it, and we cannot see it because it was a cyber attack." She says this cyber attack just forced everything to flow through the Baltimore tunnel, which will inevitably be overloaded. Not all semis are permitted to move through the tunnel because of the nature of the load. The enormity of this is just setting in for U.S. intelligence, and those in power already covering it up. So again, the idea is nothing is as it seems. And the government is out there saying there are no signs of a terrorist attack. The FBI is there, and the FBI is investigating. My question is, what are they investigating? And I'm curious to hear from you. You've had a chance to see the video. What do you think happened out there in the waters in Baltimore Harbor? Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls on this today. Very strange and also very dangerous. So it is going to be a very difficult thing to get around Baltimore for who knows how long. Jack Posobiec from Human Events writing, "If you only knew how bad things really are." And, of course, Jack is a veteran Navy intel officer. So clearly people are talking. Clearly sources are talking and getting out information they believe needs to be shared with the general public. But if this is a cyber attack, then it certainly leads you to wonder, okay, what else is at risk here? And I don't know if it was or not. But I can tell you, when I saw the video and then I watched it again and a third time and a fourth and a fifth time, it sure did look to me that that this thing was targeting the bridge. That's all. That's what it looked like to me. But I've got no proof. I'm just watching with my eyes what I see. And we certainly feel for all the people. We, again, can you imagine just driving in the middle of the night? It was 1 o'clock, 1:50 in the morning, and all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. And that thing went down like a house of cards. Just unbelievable what happened. And we certainly want to pray for all the good people there that may have lost their lives. I mean, it's just really tragic. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls on this. Also, wow, thank you. That's all I can tell you is thank you. Last night on Greg Kelly's show, and we're going to try to get the audio from that interview so you can hear the back and forth. A six-minute interview with Greg Kelly, and we talked about Twilight's Last Gleaming, my new book. And now folks, the book is selling out everywhere. So I want to encourage you, if you have not already gotten a copy, we have plenty of copies at toddstearns.com, but we're getting calls, even Amazon getting backed up with their orders now because the numbers of people getting the book and loving the book are just insane. This morning, I spent about 30 minutes with our friends at Hillsdale College doing an interview with those guys and gals and just fine, fine people. But again, if you would like a signed copy of the book, you can't find one, go to toddstarns.com and click on our store. Now, the good news is we are actually selling the book cheaper than you're going to get at, say, a Barnes & Noble or even Amazon. And we're just able to do that because we want to be nice to our great audience. And you guys are pretty awesome. So, again, go to toddstarns.com and pick up a copy right now of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? There was already a second printing in the works, and my understanding is they're beginning to start a third printing of the book. So love that you guys are reading and sharing and spreading the word. All right, let's go to Kathy in Oregon, listening to us on our great station out there, KYKN. Hi, Kathy. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Overnight, I heard Hugh Hewitt talking to an admiral, and he said that waterway is not piloted by an admiral or a captain or anything like that. It's a local pilot that has a lot of experience navigating those waters. So he said it's the pilot that needs to be talking or something, or find out who he is and what happened.
Well, that may be the case. And that was my initial thought was, okay, is there a harbor pilot? Because typically, especially in a busy port like that, and that is a massive port, Kathy, you would have a pilot that would guide the ships in. I'm hoping that we have somebody in the audience who is familiar with that and can share expertise. But it just looks to me like something happened where they lost power. They got it back, lost it again, and by that point it was just too late. They were calling Mayday, and literally they were trying to evacuate that bridge and get people off the bridge, which led me to wonder if they knew where this thing was heading.
Don't know.
All right. Well, Kathy, that's good intel, and I appreciate that. We love our good buddy Hugh Hewitt, and we appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Ted. WLOB in Portland, Maine. But, Ted, I understand you're in New Hampshire. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. You just cited Jack Posobiec. Can you be any more irresponsible? That guy's the creator of Pizzagate, and at CPAC, he called for the fall of democracy and to replace it with a theocracy.
Well, that's not what he said, Ted. And again, that is not what he said, and I'm not going to let you hop on here and cause mayhem. Appreciate the call. And, Ted, please stop lying to my call screener. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. But I am curious to hear your thoughts. You've had a chance to watch the video. And the reason I mentioned Posobiec is he is a senior editor at Human Events, a very well-respected publication. And he is also has a massive following, and he is a former Navy veteran who does have some experience in all of this. Laura Logan as well. Does that mean they're right? I don't know. But sources are clearly talking to them, and they're suggesting that what happened in Baltimore may not have been an accident. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com, or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Music.
right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And again, thank you so much. The numbers are tremendous. Book going into the third printing already, and we're out barely a week. Today is a week, and you guys are just crushing it. Thank you so much. And again, you can get a signed copy right now by going to toddstearns.com. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Maine, Captain John is on the line. Hi, Captain John. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, this was pertaining to the incident in Baltimore Harbor. I'm a retired Merchant Marine, United States Merchant Marine captain. I've been sailing for 49 years, and I've been through that bridge many, many times, in and out.
All right, I think we may have lost the captain there, but maybe he'll give us a call back. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to read something to you. You know, we've been talking a lot on this program about what's happening in this country, and that especially Generation Z, these young men who are in Generation Z, and something is happening to this group of young men. They are rejecting the feminist-friendly ideologies out there. And I think at least Generation Z, they've been out there. They really have been victimized to some extent by these feminists and by these people who wanted to medicate an entire generation of young boys. They're saying there's something wrong with a little boy who wants to go out and be rough and tumble and play cowboys and Indians and cops and robbers. And so instead, there's been this effort among these feminist Nazis. And what is it Rush called them? Feminazis. To turn little boys into little girls. There's a great story in the Epoch Times. John MacGillan is the author. And the headline is, Gen Z males are rejecting feminist-friendly ideologies. So if you keep bashing, berating, and belittling an entire group of individuals, or in this case, half the country's population, a response is inevitable. This is a very good point. It's a fascinating story. There's a new book called All the Rebel Women, The Rise of the Fourth Wave of Feminism. They do sound like feminazis. The author, Kira Cochran, suggested that this wave of feminism is not about making everyone around the table feel comfortable. She says it's about being disruptive, challenging, and changing the terms of the debate. What debate is she referencing? One that largely revolves around men, and specifically how toxic they have become. Last year, a report titled The State of American Men 2023 found more than half of young males believe that men have it harder today than women. Do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe that men have it harder today than women do? The report further unveiled significant levels of contempt for modern-day feminism, especially among male members of Generation Z. Yes, some in the wokest generation in the history of mankind are actively rejecting a core ingredient of wokeness, and who can blame them? Feminism, in its most current form, specializes in the demonization of masculinity. It equates men with trash. Some feminists would have us believe that men, especially straight white men, are a danger to society, one that must be addressed and, in some cases, attacked. A recent survey out of King's College London demonstrates that fact. On both sides of the Atlantic, millions of Gen Z men have had enough of feminist-friendly narratives. Are they all just becoming gay? Are they just out there trying to find a good girl? A woman who still shaves her legs. Any of you women out there? The survey revealed that older men, when compared to younger generations, have a greater inclination toward progressive and feminist perspectives. In the UK, for example, one out of every four males ages 16 to 29 believes that being a man is more challenging than being a woman. So the question is, why are so many Generation Z men, males, young boys, on both sides of the pond rejecting these feminist ideas? Why do you think that is? I'm curious to hear from you on this. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This, I believe, is going to manifest itself in the elections in November when you see a groundswell of support among young men going out and voting for Donald Trump. We will talk more about this coming up after the break. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Hi, I'm Todd Stearns, and thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. So call 855-417-6556 right now or go to ToddStearns.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've already pledged to raise $17,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to ToddStearns.com or call 855-417-6556 to make your best offer right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. All right, I think we've got Captain John back from Maine. Captain, thanks for holding on through the break. All right, finish your thoughts here. You said you've been through that area many times before. What's your take on what happened?
Yes, sir. I apologize for losing touch with you. It's never one thing that leads to an incident. It's one thing after another. They may have had a mechanical issue, i.e. main engine failure or a rudder.
Yeah. So if we could get our engineers on this, guys, and find out what's going on with the phone lines, I would greatly appreciate that. Sorry about that, Captain. The very latest coming out is that authorities, they found five submerged cars, three passenger vehicles, a cement truck, and a fifth vehicle submerged in the water. No word on the people that were inside those vehicles, but my understanding that water was near freezing. So that is not a good situation. And it's unfortunate what's going down. General Michael Flynn, again, just sharing this information. This is a black swan event. Black swans normally come out of the world of finance, not the military. The standard operating procedures for all U.S. ports, harbors, and bays that transit commerce and military activities are supposed to maintain an incredible level of discipline, rigor, and awareness for these types of so that these types of events do not occur ever. Yet here we are. There are harbor masters for every single one of these transit points in America that are in charge of assuring the safety of navigation starts there. Laura Logan goes on to say that her sources are saying this was a cyber attack. She said the timing is perfect for a cyber attack. Most of the crew would have been asleep at 1:40 a.m. By the time they started waking people up on board, it would have been too late. There is no confirmation on an attack at this point, but they are going to have a hard time selling this one as an accident to those who know how these things are done. And that, again, coming from Laura Logan, who earlier today said sources are telling her that this was a 9/11-style attack. All right. So there we go. We'll keep you updated throughout the program if there are any other kinds of developments. We understand President Biden is supposed to be speaking momentarily. And if that happens, we'll bring you those remarks. We'll try to provide subtitles, too. It's hard to understand that guy. All right. I want to get back to this story about young men and why they're rejecting the feminist ideologies. Because by and large, I think that a lot of young men have, number one, been medicated, and number two, they have been indoctrinated and groomed over the years, many years, to behave as girls. They were taught, they were indoctrinated to believe there was something wrong with a boy if he wanted to go out and roll around in the dirt, if he wanted to, you know, I don't know, have Tonka trucks. Remember the Tonka trucks? But then there was an effort for many, many years talking about whether or not these people should, these feminists should have access to these boys. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for your continued support. And to thank you, they have an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use the promo code STARNS, and you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. Won't last long, folks. Get a six-pack towel set for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers, 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. They absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best offers ever, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and get free shipping on your entire order while supplies last. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. What was it? James Carville doing an interview with that appeared in The Hill. This is kind of funny. James Carville is blaming all of the Democrat Party's woes on women, these feminists. Why, they're just too noisy. Them women, all they're doing is hollering with that purple hair, them big old gals. That's old James Carville. He says they've got far too much control over the Democrat Party. Them preachy females, that's all they do is squawk at us. It's true. I get it. But you know what? They asked for it. James Carville in the interview said, talking about Biden's low of approval ratings, "Well, when I look at these polling numbers, it's like walking in on your grandma naked. You can't get that image out of your mind." It's true. That's an unfortunate image. Anyway, Carville is very concerned, as are a lot of the Democrats, about Biden's falling support among specific demographics, traditional demographics in the party, especially voters of color. Says there's big problems. And I believe it. All right, let's go to Lakeland, Tennessee. Jim, listening to us on KWAM, wants to weigh in on this ship accident in Baltimore. Hey, Jim, what you got for us?
Well, I watched the video that they showed. They've been showing all morning long. And if you watch it in the dark, the lights are off on that ship for a few minutes as it's coming toward that pylon. And then all of a sudden, the lights on the ship come on. And then before it has impact, the lights all on the ship go out immediately. I think, personally, they had an electrical fire which shut everything down.
Could be. There's new reporting out of the Baltimore Sun in the past few minutes here. And the Coast Guard now says that there was a harbor pilot and an assistant on board. And they had reported power issues, multiple alarms on the bridge, and loss of propulsion prior to the incident. But when you look at that, Jim, when you look at the ship and where it was going, it made a sharp turn and then plowed directly into the bridge.
Well, that to me, that indicates that the power come back on. Now, I'm not sure if that thing is diesel. It may be the electric motors that propel it, but has diesel generators that supply the power to the motor. Or it could be diesel, you know, engines that run that thing. Now, what happened when the lights come on, that would let me know that the power come on and that he had it steered to where it was trying to get away from it, and it maybe turned it real quick into the thing, and then the lights go back out again, and then it hit the bridge. That's what I saw.
It's not good. And again, the broader issues, and right now they're trying to figure out, you know, how many people lost their lives. They're still trying to locate the workers that were on the bridge. The enormity of this is going to settle in. And I think that's one of the reasons we're going to have the president coming out momentarily and speaking to the nation. But the problem is going to be one of the nation's largest ports is now shut down. It is now blocked. So, Jim, appreciate that call. As a matter of fact, let's go right now to the White House. And here is President Biden.
Leading the response to the port, where representatives from the Federal Highway Administration, the FBI, Department of Transportation, the Army Corps of Engineers, as well as Maryland officials and Baltimore Police and Fire, are all working together to coordinate an emergency response. Officials at the scene estimate 8 people were unaccounted for still. Not still, were unaccounted for. That number might change. 2 have been rescued, 1 without injury, 1 in critical condition. And the search and rescue operation is continuing for all those remaining as we speak. I spoke with Governor Moore this morning, as well as the Mayor of Baltimore, the county executive, both United States senators and the congressman. And my Secretary of Transportation is on the scene. I told them we're going to send all the federal resources they need as we respond to this emergency. And I mean all the federal resources. And we're going to rebuild that port together. Everything so far indicates that this was a terrible accident. At this time, we have no other indication, no other reason to believe there's any intentional act here. Personnel on board the ship were able to alert the Maryland Department of Transportation that they had lost control of their vessel, as you all know and reported. As a result, local authorities were able to close the bridge to traffic before the bridge was struck, which undoubtedly saved lives. Our prayers are with everyone involved in this terrible accident and all the families, especially those waiting for the news of their loved one right now. I know every minute in that circumstance feels like a lifetime. You just don't know. It's just terrible. We're incredibly grateful for the brave rescuers who immediately rushed to the scene and to the people of Baltimore. I want to say we're with you. We're going to stay with you as long as it takes. Like the governor said, you're Maryland tough, you're Baltimore strong, and we're going to get through this together. And I promise we're not leaving. Here's what's happening now. The search and rescue operation is our top priority. Ship traffic in the Port of Baltimore has been suspended until further notice, and we'll need to clear that channel before the ship traffic can resume. The Army Corps of Engineers is on the spot and is going to help lead this effort to clear the channel. Port of Baltimore is one of the nation's largest shipping hubs, and I've been there a number of times as a senator and as a vice president. It handles a record amount of cargo last year. It's also the top port in America for both imports and exports of automobiles and light trucks. Around 850,000 vehicles go through that port every single year, and we're going to get it up and running again as soon as possible. 15,000 jobs depend on that port. And we're going to do everything we can to protect those jobs and help those workers. The bridge is also critical for travel, not just for Baltimore, but for the Northeast Corridor. Over 30,000 vehicles cross the Francis Scott Key Bridge on a daily basis. It's virtually, it's one of the most important elements for the economy in the Northeast and the quality of life. My transportation secretary is there now. As I told Governor Moore, I've directed my team to move heaven and earth to reopen the port and rebuild the bridge as soon as humanly possible. And we're going to work hand in hand with the support of Maryland to support Maryland and whatever they ask for. We're going to work with our partners in Congress to make sure the state gets the support it needs. It's my intention that the federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. And I expect the Congress to support my
effort. All right. So there you go. Not much intel. Just to clear up something, the port was not destroyed. So The president said they were going to rebuild the port. It's the bridge. And we assume that's what the president was talking about. And we'll keep you updated on that. So if the president says anything or gives any other intel, we will let you know. Right now, we've got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Tom Tiffany, the Republican from Wisconsin, joins us now. Congressman, apologize for the abbreviated time here, but with this breaking news, this bridge collapse, what's your reaction to what happened earlier this morning?
Well, I was just listening to the clip that you played by President Biden. He doesn't have to go to Congress and ask for more money. All he needs to do is take some of the $1.2 trillion, trillion with a T, that was passed in the infrastructure bill, the so-called infrastructure bill, in the last session of Congress, and apply it to that. We don't need to drive America deeper in debt. Just rebuild the bridge because you went and you wanted $1.2 trillion for infrastructure. You've got it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. There's a lot of extravagant spending on a lot of other issues, which I think, you know, again, going back to the $845,000 for the gay garden parties in Colorado, let's take that money and see if we can't start rebuilding a bridge in Baltimore.
Here's the other thing, Todd, is you're very familiar with what we call NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act. Important act passed 50 years ago, but it's been weaponized against the American people by the environmental left. And so they drag out these permitting processes for sometimes decades. What President Biden could do to also help this along, to expedite it and to build it more efficiently, is to take an existing plan that's already in place and approve it. Tell Transportation Secretary Buttigieg, dust off one of those plans and build it now, and don't have the permitting run 5 to 10 years, because that's part of what is costing us so much in America. Also, get a good plan, get it expedited, build the bridge. You got the money, do it now.
Congressman Tom Tiffany on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Republican from Wisconsin. Marjorie Taylor Greene just posting this. There should be a serious investigation. Is this an intentional act or an accident? I mean, that's a fair question to ask. I mean, we've all seen the video, and it certainly does look peculiar, but it could very well be just a weird, weird accident. But I do think we need to kind of get to the bottom of it. Congressman, what say you?
You know, I think anytime something like that happens, think about when the Minneapolis Bridge went down. That was over a decade ago, wasn't it, Todd?
Yeah.
And, I mean, there should be a full investigation when you have a major piece of infrastructure that goes down. And people are, I don't know if it was an intentional act, and I'm certainly not saying that that's the likelihood here. But when you look at what happened to our energy grid a few years ago, remember when, wasn't it in the Carolinas, when the grid went down? I can't remember if it was the electrical grid or if it's the natural gas transmission lines went down. And so we have bad actors out there, and we have vulnerabilities with our infrastructure. We should investigate this thoroughly, make sure it was not a deliberate act, but probably more importantly, Todd, let's make sure that there wasn't some other failure that was going on within our system so we can fix it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And again, the ramifications and the implications of what happened are going to be far reaching, you know, being one of the largest ports in the country. Congressman, real quick, I'm curious to get your take on Speaker Mike Johnson. There's been a lot of concern about how all of this went down with the spending bill. Of course, a majority of Republicans voted against it. What does it say about his leadership abilities?
Well, Speaker Johnson was put in a very difficult position for the life of me, Todd. I don't know why he wanted the job. And but, I mean, we got off to a really good start when we passed the bill to fund Israel when Mike Johnson became Speaker. And we did it as a pay-for. I thought he should have been a little bit more aggressive at that point and said, hey, this is what we're going to do now. Though we've got a slim majority, we're going to be aggressive here, and we're going to get stuff done. I had one criticism. I would put H.R. 2, the Secure the Border bill, on everything that comes out of the House at this point. People know. People know in the United States of America the border is a disaster, and I would be attaching that to everything. But he's in a really tough spot at this point, and it gets tougher as we see these resignations.
Yeah, I think you're right. And do you think that the resignations, are they suspicious in your mind? You know, people are saying this was meant to intentionally lose the Republican majority.
Gosh, I hope not. I hope not. I know I was disappointed in Ken Buck's resignation. You know, you've been in Congress for, what, nearly 10 years. I thought in his instance should have filled out his term. And I mean, people elect you for a particular reason, and just fulfill your commitment. And I mean, Ken was taking every opportunity to stick it in people's eye on the Republican side at the end. And I just don't think that's appropriate. It's no way to go out.
Yeah. All right. And we've got about 10 seconds. Were you surprised by Gallagher's decision?
Yeah, a little bit, but I know he's got a young family, and you know, clearly he believed it was time to go.
All right, and speaking of time to go, that music means we've got to go. Congressman, appreciate you coming on the program today, and thanks for weighing in on the breaking news of the hour as well. Appreciate that.
Todd, happy to do it.
All right, folks, we've got to scoot out of here for a quick break. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, we're going to be talking to Bruce Elliott from our great affiliate, WCBM in Baltimore. He's going to be giving us an update on what's happening, boots on the ground in Baltimore. Also, later in the next hour, Governor Scott Walker is going to drop by and going to be talking about TikTok and college Democrats and Republicans. That's going to be an interesting conversation. And, of course, we're also going to take your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, in the last hour of the program, I was telling you about this this new survey that's out suggesting that young men, especially Generation Z young men, are rejecting feminism. And they say that enough is enough. And they're tired of all of the attacks on men and young men for being men. They're tired of being told their behavior is toxic. And I say, good for these guys. So anyway, that brings me to the a lot of the polling data out there suggesting that young men are attracted to Donald Trump's campaign. And I'm curious to hear from you guys out there. Maybe you have sons that are teenagers. And I'm curious to know why they are attracted to Donald Trump and his campaign. I want to read to you a speech. This speech, we have the audio, but it's very bad audio, and I don't want to subject your ears to that. So I thought yours truly would read this speech. It was delivered by a teenage boy at a high school. And this young man stood in front of his peers in his class, and he had to deliver a speech on his favorite president. Oh, did he pick Obama? No, he did not pick Obama. Was it Bill Clinton? No, it was not Bill Clinton. It was Donald John Trump. This is great. And this young man stood up there. And this is what he read. Good afternoon. Welcome to the celebration of Donald Trump. Oh, golly. You know, that had to have triggered somebody. To all of our conservative friends in the audience today, thank you for being here. We are here to celebrate Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States of America. Trump is one of the best presidents in American history. Whether it's his foreign policy or his strong in such a meaningful way. To this day, even thinking of Donald Trump's first term makes me cheer up and miss when we had a strong leader. This is a teenage kid writing this. Donald Trump's interest in politics and business is because of his father, Fred Trump, a real estate developer. Combined with his finalist in politics, I think some of this got lost in translation, Trump took his passion to the White House, which made America great again. Trump was given an opportunity to fix America after a certain president ruined it. That would be Barack Hussein Obama, by the way. During that time, he was hated, but it happened. He powered through and had the best first term since Reagan without the popularity that Reagan had. While Trump is a great leader, he is also a funny one. Oh, this is true. He knows how to entertain a crowd, whether it's getting on my TV just because of the tweet or poking up the crowd at one of his rallies. Trump can do it all. This is a very brilliant young man, a bright young man, probably smarter than most of the people on MSDNC and CNN because they don't have a sense of humor. Only a few years ago, America was robbed of a great president. Donald Trump lost the election, and the Democrat Party, we don't know whether it was a fair fight or not. Nobody is allowed to question the results of the 2020 election. To lose in a fair fight, it hurts. To lose in a fight where you're going to cheat, it hurts even more. The kid gets it. Wow. And the opponent that cheated targets Trump and threatens him jail for the rest of his life. Most people would quit and break down, but not Trump. After everything he's going through, he continues to fight for America's right and win his second term. He would do so many great things. I may not know many things, but I know Trump does not deserve all the hate he gets. I think everyone can agree America needs Donald J. Trump. Good for you, young man. Good for you. And he's right. Trump is a funny man. Trump is a bold man. Trump is a strong man. And Trump is determined. And as I wrote in Twilight's Last Gleaming, at this stage in American history, he's the only guy that can literally take on the communist and fight him. That's Donald Trump. So I'm curious, especially you moms and dads out there, maybe you have a kid and that teenager is a big Trump supporter. I'm curious to know why. What is it about Donald Trump that young people, and especially young men, find so appealing? Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. This coming in, breaking news. Dun da 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 da. Puck News now reporting that RNC, former RNC chairperson Ronna Romney McDaniel is now out at NBC. Dylan Byers reporting this on his X feed. Ronna McDaniel is going to be dropped as a paid contributor following an on-air revolt from NBC and MSNBC talent. Executives are deliberating over details, announcement pending. Meanwhile, McDaniel is seeking legal representation. Here's what should have happened. They should have fired everybody else. They should have kept Ronna Romney and fired everybody else. But look, I'm not a big Ronna Romney McDaniel fan at all, but she's getting the raw deal here. Maybe she's getting what she deserves after the fast one she pulled on Trump. Anyway, the squawking magpies over at The View are talking about this. Cut number 8, please.
Look, I think she's a shapeshifter, and she says and does what's convenient for her to say and do when it's convenient.
I feel very strongly, obviously, that there needs to be Republican representation in media. We represent 50% of the country. But there are credible Republicans who never dabbled in this dangerous lie that Joe Biden didn't legitimately win the election, who would be far better served for NBC, could offer the same expertise but with more credibility. I think of people like Chris Christie, Chris Krebs, Sarah Matthews, Mick Mulvaney,
Journalism is shrinking, especially on linear television. To pay a woman like that $300,000 is obscene. And let's remember that she was the person involved in the 2020 phone call to pressure Michigan County officials to not certify the vote from the Detroit area in particular. The Detroit population is 77.8%. Black. Mm-hmm. So she was involved in actively suppressing attempting to suppress the black vote.
All right. So a lot to unravel there from the squawking magpies over at The View. They brought up the salary. How dare they? How dare they pay her $300,000? Who do they think they are? All right. Well, let's take a look at what the gals on The View are making. Joy Behar, approximately $7 million a year. Whoopi Goldberg, approximately $8 million. Sonny Hostin, $1.6 million. Sarah Haynes, $1.5 million. What does that tell you? All right, there you go. So the latest news, apparently, Ronna Romney McDaniel on the way out over at NBC because they cannot stand, they cannot tolerate tolerance at NBC. All right, let's go to the phone lines. North Carolina, Tommy, and I understand you are 21 years old. Tommy, do you support Donald Trump?
Yes, I do.
And why do you support Donald Trump?
Honestly, I support Donald Trump because, you know, growing up, you see everything different. You grow and you see the change, right? You see how Obama ran the country. Then you get Trump. And Trump came in saying that he was going to do this and he was going to do that. And Trump did what Trump said he was going to do. And then you got all these young guys who see Trump and they see how the world's operating under Trump. You know, the economy was great. Gas was down low. You know, everything was good. They could do what they wanted to do. They could have fun. And they didn't have to worry about all these real world problems. And then you have Biden come in and cheat his way to the stand, and now here we are. You got a bunch of what everyone's calling Gen Z crybabies crying over everything because we went from how Obama was running it to how Trump ran it to now how Biden's running it, and I don't know. You know, we like you said, how the high schooler wrote in his speech. We may not know a lot, but we can see the bull crap, and we can see right through it.
All right, so Tommy, there you go. You have laid out a very fine argument for why you, as a 21-year-old, support Donald Trump. Do other guys your age, are they sick and tired of this radical feminism out there?
Yes, we are. You know, I can speak for myself, but I knew it was going downhill. I knew the world was going downhill when I was about done with high school. And they started adding litter boxes to the men's restroom. That's how I knew it was going downhill.
Litter boxes? For, like, cats?
Yeah, for, like, cats. In the public school restroom bathroom. Litter boxes for the kids that wear the tail.
Oh, these That's people right. who identify as pussy cats. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what they identify as, and all I know is that when we're long and gone and when the archaeologists come around, they're going to find two body parts and they're going to name a man and female.
There you go. All right. Well, Tommy, appreciate that call. Wow. I didn't realize that there in North Carolina, they had the litter boxes in the schools. But, you know, there are these kids and they identify as furries. And these are very bizarre people, and they think they're actual, you know, animals. And in some cases, there have been it's sort of like, Sasquatch, Bigfoot. You've always heard the stories, but you haven't actually seen them. Fascinating. But we just had verification from one of our great listeners. that there are litter boxes in the classrooms. Oh, I got to play this from Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd is just enraged. Enraged, I say. Cut number 9.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation. Well, I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. When NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News?
Well, there you go. You know, it again, the question has to be raised here. Who's in charge at NBC that would allow their talent to pull some sort of nonsense like this? I'd be giving people the heave-ho left and right. They came in and said, well, here's who you're going to hire. Here's who you're going to fire. And if you don't do what we tell you, there's going to be payback. Okay, great. Here's your final check. Have a nice day. Turn in your keys. Unbelievable. Let's go to Jerry in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Jerry. What say you?
Hey, just played the clip, one of the idiots on The View.
Yes.
Talking about Romney McDaniel's phone call to Detroit, urging them to not certify the vote. Like, that was just the most god-awful thing that ever happened in the world. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I believe I remember, wasn't Detroit one of several major cities that actually counted more votes than they had people registered to vote?
Yes, that's actually accurate. You are correct, Jerry.
I thought I remembered that right. That's all. I just wanted to point that out.
Yes, it is very peculiar, Jerry, is it not?
Well, I can't believe all these idiots in MSNBC. Oh, I can't believe George Stephanopoulos doesn't have a journalism degree, never worked at a newspaper, never worked at a radio station, never worked at a TV station, and he comes straight out of the Clinton administration as a full-fledged anchor type.
It's true.
With Jim Psaki.
Circle back. Yes. No, it's true. You're right.
Crazy.
You're right. They have absolutely no problem because they share ideologies, right? So when George Stephanopoulos, who, by the way, coined the term bimbo eruption and was the guy tasked with destroying all these women who were viciously attacked and assaulted by one Bill Clinton, then they turn a blind eye to that. That's okay. But having somebody get hired like Ronna Romney McDaniel, who we despise on this program, and I think if they just gave her some time, she would come around to their way of thinking, you know, because clearly she is a fake conservative. Jerry, gotta run, but great, it's a great reminder of the, yes, it was Detroit, where they actually had more people vote than actually live there. You would think that would be cause for concern among many, but clearly not. Well, folks, we are continuing, and this week concludes our big fundraising effort, our radiothon for our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. They are at the Supreme Court today. This time they are arguing against the Food and Drug Administration's dangerous decision to ignore its own safety standards about abortion pills. So this is just absolutely unacceptable. And thank God that we've got Alliance Defending Freedom at the Supreme Court today holding the FDA responsible and accountable. Now, the reason they're able to do that is because of gifts that you make to Alliance Defending Freedom. So I want you to go to toddstearns.com, or you can phone your most generous gift to 855-417-6556. That's 855-417-6556. If you go to toddstearns.com, you'll notice the Alliance Defending Freedom banner at the very top of the page, and you can click on that and you can make your donation of $100 or more, or whatever you can contribute today, because every single dollar makes a critical difference. And remember, we only have three more days left in my campaign. So we would love for you to go and participate. Let's reach our goal and help our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. And by the way, exciting news, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Wichita. We're coming to your towns week after next for the big book tour, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? You can go ahead and get a copy of the book if you go to toddstearns.com. I will personally autograph it for you. Or you can get one out in your community when we come out for the big radio affiliate book tour. So looking forward to meeting all of you great listeners out there across the country. All right, I want to bring into the conversation our good friend Bruce Elliott, co-host of The Morning Drive of WCBM, our affiliate in Baltimore. Bruce, I know it's been a super busy morning for you guys. What's the very latest? What can you tell us?
Well, it's been odd, actually. The news is still coming in, Todd. Initially, there were questions as to how many people were in the water, where there were vehicles on the bridge or not. As you know, the bridge is a long bridge. You've been across it. The bridge was undergoing routine maintenance last night. There are still six people missing. They're all construction workers. Eight fell into the water. Two are out. Six are missing. Hypothermia is a real risk for those individuals by this time, so the prospects are not particularly rosy. It is a 1.6-mile four-lane span, and a whole bunch of it came down last night. If you've not seen the video, it's as if you're watching some kind of an effect from a science fiction movie. The whole bridge was in the water within around 10 seconds. It is just stunning to see.
Now, Bruce, you guys are getting ready for your morning show, and, of course, this happened, what, about 1:50 Eastern time, is that right, early this morning?
Yeah, about 1:30, Todd, actually.
1:30.
But yeah, roughly 1 o'clock in the morning.
So when did you guys, tell me about that. You get up this morning, think it's going to be a regular day, and all of this happens.
Well, we had a lot of topics to talk about this morning. You know, there's a ton of local and national news going on, including the Donald Trump news having to do with the trials, multiple trials in New York and elsewhere, and the victories he's had in that particular fight. But in a lot of local news as well, the state of the city address from our mayor was last night and so forth. So it all kind of got put to the side because this is a massive story. It's almost incomprehensible to see what happened. The ship, it's a big ship. It's almost 1,000 feet long, and it's a wide ship. So it is still kind of impaled on the remainder of the bridge. We conferenced real quickly this morning, Sean Casey and I. We're both co-hosts of the show. We conferenced first thing this morning and decided how to handle it. We were able to pick up most of the early feed of the various news briefings that were taking place. The ship is a Singapore-flagged ship owned by Maersk. It spans 984 feet long, width of almost 158 feet. So this is a big ship.
Wow.
And it was going on a roughly a month-long trip to Colombo, Sri Lanka. But it's obviously not going anywhere, nor are any of the other ships currently that are still trapped in Baltimore Harbor. And none of the ships outside the bridge are able to get into Baltimore's harbor right now. So Baltimore, the harbor, is one of the largest locations for small trucks, light trucks, as they're offloaded. And all that now has to be diverted to somewhere else. It's unclear as to the impact this is going to have on daily commuters, Todd, because this is a spring break week. It's Easter week.
Oh, wow.
And once the kids get back in school next week, we may then see how well we've adapted to this. There's still two tunnels to make it around, both the old and the new harbor tunnel. But the bridge was a primary artery. It's also the only way to get hazardous material from south to north or north to south. And that's going to all have to be rerouted as well, potentially either around 695, which is our beltway, or heading out further west to I-81 and taking it down roughly through the Blue Ridge Mountains. So it's a puzzle still as to exactly what we will be facing tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Obviously, the primary concern is for the families of those six individuals and the six individuals who are still missing. The long-term prospects, though, Todd, this kills any port business for as long as it takes to clear the area, which could be a while. It could be a bit before they actually manage to pull the debris out so that it's passable for ships going in or out of Baltimore. And all that ship traffic will have to be diverted. Also, we have a couple, three cruise lines that come out of the port of Baltimore. Obviously, nobody's going to cruise into or out of Baltimore anytime real soon. So that will all have to be diverted. There are thousands and thousands of jobs just in those two areas alone that are impacted. So there's going to be a massive impact on the local economy, and we're still sorting out where we go from here.
Bruce, curious to see if you guys are hearing any sort of scuttlebutt over what happened here. Was it an accident? There are folks like Laura Logan, General Michael Flynn, suggesting this might have been some sort of a cyber attack. What are you guys hearing?
It doesn't appear so. As a matter of fact, the captain or the pilot on the ship had sent in a mayday. There were no vehicles on the bridge at the time because they sent out a mayday saying we have lost control of the ship. We have lost power. So basically they drifted into the bridge. They had no control over the ship at that time. Now, one of the pieces of scuttlebutt we did hear, which is something that, again, this is simply at this point, it's simply a comment from a listener this morning who said that one of his friends was working on the refrigeration units on this ship yesterday, and they were losing power on the ship yesterday. Now, if this is the same power grid that powers the engine or the steering capacity of the ship should never have left port.
Yeah.
So we're waiting to hear if that's the case or if this is simply a story that crosses the transom and there's never any confirmation of it. We won't have that information, I suspect, for 24 to 48 hours. The Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, has already been on the scene. President Biden says he's going to come to Baltimore expeditiously, Todd, which is far better than he did about East Palestine.
Well, you're
not
kidding,
you know, that is then, this is now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, Bruce, we appreciate all the great intel. I know you guys were up and at it this morning, sounding great, and keeping people there in the Baltimore area informed on that big morning commute change as well. Bruce, we're going to leave it there. Get some rest, my friend.
I will. Have Grace call me whenever you need more info.
All right. Bruce Elliott, everybody, co-host of The Morning Drive on WCBM, our radio affiliate there in the Baltimore area. So Laura Logan now posting this update. Multiple intel sources. Baltimore bridge collapse was an absolutely brilliant strategic attack on U.S. critical infrastructure, most likely cyber, and our intel agencies know it. In information warfare terms, they just divided the U.S. along the Mason-Dixon line, exactly like the Civil War. And she goes on, I'm not going to read all of what she just posted, but Laura Logan writing that latest information. You heard from Bruce Elliott. They are not hearing those kinds of rumblings, so we'll just have to wait and see how this plays out. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Connor in Boston hanging out with us today. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, my friend, you know what? I'm going to tell you, I was listening and I heard, you know, all the scandal about Ronna McDaniel over at NBC. And, you know, it's funny with all of these people over there that are so critical of it. Todd, I know, mentioned that they've had a pretty kind of bumpy relationship with the RNC for the past 6 years. You know, maybe it's because 6 years ago, not only did she come on the scene right around that time, but Trump came on the scene and the American people started to see the fake media for who they are. You know, so it's maybe not so much her versus the Trumpism, but I should call these people out for, you know, basically the fake propagandists that they are. So I don't know if they're really more so upset with her or the fact that they're, you know, that, you know, somebody who was in the party when Trump was in the party. And if I were the head of NBC right now, Todd, I would have every single one of these, Mika, Morning Joe, I would have all of them in there. I'd call them into a boardroom. I'd say, hang on for a sec. We're going to have HR on the phone. I would fire every last one of them. They should be fired a long time ago, but this should be the one that sets them, gets them free from NBC. And it should make them happy because they hate them so much and disagree with them so much. They shouldn't work there anyway.
Yeah, I like that. And again, if you're gonna go out there and tell your boss who they should and should not hire or fire, you're out of here, pal. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to say something like that?
Yeah, they can tell it to my steel-toed boot if they work for me. Real quick, I'm also going to tell you, I'm really excited to get your new book. I'm waiting for it to come in the mail. Amazon should be delivering it probably tomorrow. So I'm really pumped to read that.
Connor, can't wait. When you read it, you got to call in. You got to give us your review on air. Got to promise.
I promise I will do, but I know it's going to be a bestseller as it always is.
All right. Connor, good hearing from you. Be good up there. Boston, my goodness. Let's go to Tennessee. WTJS, our great affiliate, Rich on the line. Hi, Rich. What say you?
Todd, you are good. I, for one thing, Laura Logan, I've been following her for years. She's the most fearless reporter as there is. From the Mexican cartels to the Middle East, I believe there could definitely be something going on. I doubt it, but twilight's last gleaming on the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I knew a guy in the Philippines. Those people travel the world 8-9 months out of the year, and those things happen, but this is too much. And
Rich, did you see the video? Have you seen that video yet of the ship going into the bridge?
I could only see the bridge, but I tell you, this will be a great thing for Biden because they can ask for more money now instead of spending it. The whole thing is just sickening, and I should be just concerned about the bridge and the people that died. There's no room for that anymore. You know, we can't even come together on the poor girl in Georgia. I don't have tears left for none of this stuff. And I tell you what, after Custoff, I can't even get my mind on a dadgum bridge in Baltimore.
Oh, talking about your congressman there, David Custoff of West Tennessee.
I was waiting for him to pull one. I never knew he would pull that one. He is persona non grata around here, I hope. But I will, given the chance, I will let him have it.
All right. Well, I want to try to, we're going to talk more about that later. But, Rich, to your point, Laura Logan out there, and she certainly has her sources, and she's been a fine journalist. But I'm sure there will be some pushback there. Rich, appreciate that call. Got to skedaddle. Let's go to Jeff in Georgia, WDUN, our affiliate. Hi, Jeff. What say you?
Hey, Todd, how you doing, sir?
All right.
Hey, I wanted to bring up about the lights going off on the tanker right before it hits the bridge, and then they're off for 3 or 4 seconds, and then you see a large plume of smoke above it. Nobody's really talking about that. And they haven't ruled out, they've ruled out terrorism, but that's really strange.
Well, they're going to investigate, and again, I don't know what happened, but it just all looks very odd, and if they lost propulsion, it just looks to me from the video that I saw that this ship made a very sharp turn and aimed itself directly at those pilings. That's
right,
what it looks
right
like
after
to me.
The lights go off. That happened. And you can see after the next day, well, this morning, you can see that the anchors are down. So they did deploy the anchors. But watching the video on Newsmax, you see it, the video, and it shows the lights go off first. And then you see this large plume of smoke above it right before it hits the pilings.
Yeah, it's there. I mean, you're right. The lights went off. The lights came back on. Lights went off again. You see the billowing smoke, and then the lights go off one more time. And so it could have been an accident. There may be something more to it. If there is something more to it, I don't know what the government's going to tell us. I think they're going to try to keep this under wraps.
Yep. It does sound like it.
All right, Jeff. Appreciate that call, and we certainly thank you for listening to the program today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. May I tell you about Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And they are giving you access to all three major networks. That means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left, When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, and our military and veteran and first responder heroes. Their customer service team is based right here in America. So give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use my code, offer code Todd. You're going to get free activation when you utilize that code. Again, patriotmobile.com/Todd. Call 972-PATRIOT. Or again, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd and use that offer code Todd. All right, don't forget, head over to toddstearns.com. You click on that store and get yourself a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Also, all of my books are available there, and you can sort of cut through the middleman. We have a price that is actually cheaper than the bookstores, and we take great pride in that because we want to make sure you guys always have the availability to get my books. So, again, toddstearns.com. And you'll be able to find all that information there. By the way, somebody had mentioned earlier about the situation in Georgia. And there is a bizarre story. Someone was able to get a hold of the emails between the mayor in Athens, Georgia, and the sheriff in Clark County, Georgia. This is all about Lake and Riley. And the mayor of Athens sent an email in response to something that the sheriff was upset about. The sheriff was sending a note and saying, hey, look, you know, we're getting accused of running a sanctuary county here, but that's not the case. And he says, I need you guys at City Hall to deal with this. And if you don't address it, I'm going to do everything in my power to protect the integrity and professionalism of the sheriff's office. So the mayor responded. His name is Kelly Gertz. And Kelly Gertz said that the problem in response to this, it's a four-paragraph response, and the mayor was very clear that the issue about Lake and Riley is that it was a PR problem. So the mayor didn't seem terribly concerned over the fact that he has a bunch of illegal aliens running around his town killing people. The bigger problem is that Lake and Riley's death presented a public relations mess for the city. This is coming from the email of Kelly Gertz, the mayor of Athens, Clark County. Unbelievable. He says, my takeaway for the moment is that in the immediate wake of a tragedy, to focus on the victim, avoid political messaging, focus on comfort and unity. I know how difficult this time is for everyone, given the tragedy Athens has experienced, as well as the variety of things that land on our phones and computers. Really, what else is landing on your phone and computer that's more important than a young girl getting murdered, beaten to death in your city, Mr. Mayor? Explain that one. The mayor also goes on to defend illegals. And the mayor actually says, and he's quoting from research from Stanford University, which is flawed research, saying that illegals are in the U.S. are less likely to be criminals than native-born people. The mayor doesn't seem to understand that as soon as you cross the border illegally, you become a criminal. So 100% of them are criminals. All right, we got to take a break here. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us today. Thoughts and prayers for all of you folks in the fast food industry out in California. So on April 1st, you folks who work at McDonald's and you work at Wendy's, You guys are going to be getting a 25% increase in your minimum wage. So the new minimum wage for California fast food workers set by the Democrats who control California is now $20 an hour. And, of course, the Democrats are saying, you know, this is necessary because fast food, there is there's only so much time and so much effort that people can put into their jobs. So if you're working at a fast food job, you deserve to be paid a huge wage. So now comes the other shoe, because the headlines coming out of the NBC Bay Area that a number of fast food restaurants and pizza places are now beginning to lay off workers. Restaurants say the reason why is very simple. If we have to pay a higher wage, it means we can't hire as many workers. The popular Round Table Pizza shop in San Jose, one of those businesses, the owner, his name is Amir Samadi. He considers himself a good employer through good times and bad. For example, he points out he did not lay off any workers during the pandemic and did not cut any hours. Well, that was very noble. But now he's not sure that he can afford the change. Quote, as an owner or employer, you have to have coverage to pay them. If you can't, you have to shut your door or they're going to lose hours. Anyway, it's going to be a loss for both sides. Some have suggested the wage hike could be covered by raising prices, but Samadi says the cost to customers is not as simple as it might sound. By the way, I went to Five Guys, dropped in for a burger. I'd been to Five Guys in ages. It was like $20-something for a hamburger. It was a good hamburger, but, I mean, $20? Mr. Samadi says we can't just out of nowhere change the prices for people who are going to go elsewhere. There's a lot of options. The new minimum wage applies only to designated fast food employees. The only company that was exempted was Panera, and that's because the owner is a good friend of the governor. Some Bay Area fast food workers said they worry about the impact on their employer, but also say they need money to keep up with the cost of living. Okay, but that's not your employer's fault. The new law also establishes a fast food council, which, among other things, will monitor the change to see if there should be any more increases in the future. So they're not stopping at $20. It could go to $25 an hour or maybe $30 an hour. Now, how much do you think the Big Mac is going to cost in California if you're having to pay somebody $20, $25 an hour? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, by the way, President Trump is coming under fire. This is an insane story. Remember last year we had Lee Greenwood on the show, a couple of times actually, and Lee was promoting the all-new God Bless the USA Bible. It is a great Bible, and it's got an America patriotic themed Bible study that's a part of it. It's just a beautifully well-produced, well-crafted Bible. So now President Trump is promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. That Christian nationalist, that's what they're calling him. It's unbelievable. And we knew this was going to happen, right? The only person these woke leftists hate more than Donald Trump is Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. So anyway, I wrote this. I wrote about this on Twitter during the break. And it's just brutal. I love this president. You know, and he really does have a deep devotion to people of faith. I got to see that up close and personal. And it's authentic. He may not be a theologian, but that's okay. What you see is what you get with Donald Trump. And that's what really angers a lot of people about Trump, is that he is the same. He's not like Ronna Romney McDaniel, who's one way with Trump, and then when Trump's out of the way, she's a different way. She's two-faced. But Donald Trump, the guy is the guy. I mean, what do you want me to say? I believe that he does love God, and I believe he does love people of faith. So anyway, do you have a problem with the fact that Trump is promoting this Bible? Honestly, I think people ought to read the Bible. I think more people ought to read the Bible. I think the country would be better off if more people read the Bible. And my book, by the way, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Can I go back to this story out of Georgia, though? This mayor in Athens, Clark County, this guy is a far leftist. He is, I mean, even the guy's name, Kelly Gertz, it just screams leftist. I mean, no disrespect to any Gertzes of you out there. So my apologies if I offended you. But I'm serious. This guy in the email to the sheriff was more concerned about the PR surrounding the death of Lake and Riley than the actual death of Lake and Riley. And then the guy turns around and he says, well, the fact of the matter is illegals in the United States are less criminally inclined than native-born population. He literally wrote this in the email. Well, I hate to break it to the mayor, but you know what? At least one of them wasn't. The guy who beat Lake and Riley to death, the illegal alien who found sanctuary in your community, sir. But this guy says it's a PR problem. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh, man, I triggered people on social media. I'm getting loads of hate mail. And one of them, this guy named Kevin, whose Twitter handle is Chug a Lug. And this guy coming at, how do you know it's a terrific Bible? Do you have a copy yet? Well, yes, sir, I do. As a matter of fact, we were promoters of the God Bless the USA Bible last year, sir. By the way, our good friend Caleb Park over at Newsmax raises a very interesting point. Is the reporting misinformation? Because they're saying that Trump is selling the Bible for $59.99, but isn't he just promoting it? I mean, really? Trump said, this is what Trump said. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. The president goes on to say, I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. Amen. Amen, Mr. President. Do you agree with that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe that we ought to make America pray again? I think that's a terrific thing. Good for you, sir. Good for you. By the way, an update now. The New York Post, and we talked about this in the last hour of the program, NBC News is dropping RNC chair or ex-RNC chair Ronna Romney McDaniel. The network has not made an official announcement. Oh, I see. New York Post is just quoting Puck News, which we shared with you already. So, all right, there you go. So anyway, back to Trump. I don't see anything wrong with what he's doing. He's promoting a Bible. There are a lot of Bibles out there, a lot of translations of the Bible out there. So I don't have a problem. And I don't know if he's getting a single penny off of this. Does it really matter? Isn't the most important thing that people are out there reading the Bible? It's a King James version, by the way. It includes a copy of the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance, as well as a handwritten chorus of the famous Lee Greenwood song, From the Lakes of Minnesota to the Hills of Tennessee. From Detroit down to Houston. I know I'm getting the lyrics out of order, but bear with me. But man, are they going after Trump. They are coming after him. And the reason why is they hate Jesus. They do. That's really what that's all about, is that they simply hate our Lord. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Governor Scott Walker from Young America's Foundation. So I want to play some audio here. This is one of these woke influencers on the TikTok. And she is, I think she's a she. She's one of these, remember Saturday Night Live? That's Pat. Yeah, she's like, the pronouns could go either way, but I think she's a she. Anyway, she's very upset about the prospect of Donald Trump winning election and posted this video, cut 19.
And here are the first 15 promises he has made if he is reelected. You may have heard of Project 2025, but this is from Agenda 47. And you can read all of these on his website. First, he promises that he will carry out the largest domestic deportation operation in history. He will also ask for the death sentence for anyone convicted of human trafficking. He will close the Department of Education and return all education standards to the states to decide.
I got no problem.
He will
with
put
that.
Prayer back into school, and he will criminalize any race-based advantage programs.
All right.
He will end the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. He will ban gender-affirming care for adults and children, and he will ban any federal dollars from going towards gender-affirming care.
Right on.
Which means anyone with government-provided health care will no longer be able to access gender-affirming care except for Viagra and Cialis. Those will still be available. He will propose a constitutional amendment that gives a term limit to Congress. He will deploy the Department of Justice to investigate the Biden crime family and any of his adversaries or political rivals. He will immediately pardon all of the January 6thers, and he will create a task force to investigate anyone who arrested, charged, or imprisoned a January 6er. He will increase the penalties for underage criminal offenders, strengthen immunity for police officers, and deploy the National Guard to patrol woke cities. On day one, he will reassess our participation in NATO and says that every European country needs to pay the United States for protection. He will also restore the wonderful travel ban for Muslims coming to America. He will build freedom cities. This is 10 new cities built on federal land. He will award them to areas with the best development proposals, and he will prioritize moving young families to these freedom cities. He will kill all e-vehicles and e-vehicle legislation, seeking to replace that with the development of a flying car. He believes that we could create a car that vertically takes off. He will remove all of the limits on American natural gas exports and drill, baby, drill for oil domestically. He will impose a tariff of up to 60% on Chinese imports. He will extend the 2017 tax cuts and drop the corporate tax rate from 21% to 15%. He will push Congress to pass legislation that would give every American the right to concealed carry anywhere at any time. And he will revoke any gun restrictions or legislation that seeks to inhibit people's ability to own guns that's been passed in the last several years. He will demand that Europe pay back all the money we gave Ukraine, and then he will use all of that money to recruit for the American military. And he will take billions and billions of dollars from private university endowments by taxing, fining, and suing the universities. He specifically names Harvard in this one. And then he will use that money to create the American Academy. It is a free online college that will be free of wokeness that he will force employers to recognize as a bachelor's degree equivalent. So that's Agenda 47.
Well, I think that's a great agenda. Wow. Make America great again, Mr. President. What do you think that, everybody? What do you think about that? This poor leftist, she has no idea that she just created one of the best Trump camp TV ad commercials out there. Well done, you leftist moron. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Bill, Cordova, Tennessee, wants to weigh in on the Trump Bible haters. Hi, Bill, what you got for us?
I don't know about those people at all, but this is the thing, Todd, you mentioned a minute ago that they're doing this because they hate God, and you are absolutely 100% on the money. But just below that is they know Trump is going to go after the deep state, and this time he doesn't have anything to lose, so because he can't run for re-election, all that. And they're all scared that these people that don't want him in there are the ones that are guarding the drain. And that needs to, they need to go. He needs to do exactly, he needs to finish cleaning the deep state and get that out of the way.
So you don't have a problem with the fact that Trump is out there, and I don't know if he's getting any money for this. I think they're upset by the mere fact the man is promoting a Bible.
Yeah. Probably so. Yep.
All right.
That makes all the sense.
Bill, appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. 901-260-5926. Do you have a problem, ladies and gentlemen, with President Trump promoting a Bible that includes inside the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Pledge of Allegiance, and the lyrics to God Bless the USA? Now, I have a couple of Bibles. We promoted that particular Bible on this program, and we said it would make a lovely gift, especially if you have a patriot in your family for Father's Day, Mother's Day. I got no problem with that. What say you? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So, horrible story coming out of New York City, where a 31-year-old New York City police officer was gunned down, made a traffic stop while he was getting all the information. One of the people in the car opened fire. The bullet somehow made it under the vest and ended up killing the officer. It turns out the killer had been arrested 21 previous times. This guy was a career criminal, and yet he was walking the streets of New York City. And why do you think that is? Because of these radical leftists who control the district attorney's offices there in New York City. That's why. You couldn't help but hear the anger and the anguish coming out of these officers that walked those streets. New York City is incredibly dangerous now. If you're heading out on a family vacation, you want to stay as far away from New York City as humanly possible. As a matter of fact, as a brief aside, do you realize there was a local TV report in Memphis about, I believe it was Bed Bath & Beyond, one of those kinds of big box stores. And they are not even telling their drivers to stop in Memphis. They're saying, whatever you do, if you got to get gas, don't get gas in Memphis. It's too dangerous. Well, the same thing's happening in New York City right now. And I'm telling you, it's just too dangerous. It doesn't have to be that way, but it is. And our thoughts and our prayers are with not only the family of this fallen officer as a young little child, but also with all of the police officers there in the Big Apple. Just a terrible thing that happened, and it could have been prevented had that guy been behind bars where he should have been. All right, folks, hang tight. We'll be right back. So Biden, when he was giving his address about the bridge in Maryland, said that he'd been over that bridge many, many times on in the train as he was commuting. There's just one problem. There is no train on the bridge, Mr. President. You're mistaken. You're confused again. Also, the president said that he would be using taxpayer money to rebuild the port. The port is fine. It's the bridge that needs to be rebuilt. And by the way, that is a toll bridge. So the question now is, should the American people be forced to foot the bill for a toll bridge? Anyway, there you go. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. There is a fascinating, fascinating new study that shows 77% of college Democrats and Republicans agree that free speech ought to be protected on college campuses. That's huge news. Let's bring in our good friend. He is president of the Young Americas Foundation, Governor Scott Walker. Governor, good to have you on the show today.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it is big news. You're so definitely right about that.
I am stunned. I remember back in 2015, Pew did the study, and they found 40% of millennials at the time opposed free speech, felt like there should be limitations. So what's changing?
Well, I think people are seeing the abuses. I think we're cutting through the wonders. I think the biggest thing is X, right? I mean, it's, you know, before you had so many big tech executives and others, as we saw in the Twitter files, trying to suppress all this information, certainly about the 2020 election and about COVID information, but I think overall about free speech. And now, as you know, so you shine the light on something, it's amazing how no matter what the age, people can start to wake up and say, no, this is a big deal. We need to have free speech. We need to have free opportunities. We can't just hear one side of the equation. And it's not only why this poll shows it, but I think it's predominantly one of the big reasons why you see a 16-point drop, for example, in the number of younger voters who say they voted for Trump, or excuse me, voted for Biden 4 years ago, and not being willing to vote for him now because people are getting more information.
I'm curious, Governor. I know that you have a lot of high-profile conservatives that go out on the university campuses and deliver speeches. A lot of times there are protests. Sometimes there are not. I'm curious what sort of an impact that has bringing somebody like a Ben Shapiro onto a college campus.
Well, I think it's eye-opening in the sense that not only do you see thousands of people show up for someone like Ben, and you've been great, Todd, to speak at our conferences. We were great speakers there. We put that content up on YouTube and other social media platforms. We put all of our lectures up there. I think that both the on-presence, in-person lectures that we're doing and others like us are doing, but combine them with the scaling that up onto going on to things like YFTV on YouTube, where we've got 1.6 million subscribers, and last year we surpassed 1.2 billion views. I think, again, that's having an impact. On the upbeat side of things, I get the sense that young people are hungry. They haven't heard other ideas. I've been on your show before talking about the 2022 lack of a red wave was largely because of younger voters. And someone, you know, one of the media outlets said, oh, Walker's somehow saying that he's afraid of younger voters. They said, I'm not afraid of younger voters. I'm afraid of younger voters who've only heard one side of the story. And once we get more than one side of the story out, I think young people are hungry to hear it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And there's a story we were talking about earlier today from Epoch Times, Gen Z males rejecting feminist-friendly ideologies. I'm wondering, and are you hearing any of these kinds of stories from campus about young men who are finally pushing back against this idea of toxic masculinity?
Absolutely. You hear it on college campuses. We're seeing it increasingly even in high schools. The polling shows that as well, that there's an increase in terms of more and more young men moving towards a more conservative viewpoint because they realize it doesn't matter what they do or say, they're under attack. The radical element that we hear the most about in culture today, particularly on college campuses, but in many cases even in social media, is got it out. You know, the sad reality is they want to pit one group versus another. This is classic Marxist strategy. If you don't agree with them, you're sexist, you're racist, you're transphobic, you name it. It doesn't even matter if that's what you're debating about. That's what they're pushing because that's their strategy. It didn't work, you know, decades, generations ago because America wasn't a class-based society and therefore division just based on class or even economic status wasn't enough. That's why you see this big push. I think aided, as our friend Peter Schweitzer spelled out in his book, Blood Money, aided by the CCP pushing these kind of ideas, being on TikTok, other platforms out there to try and create division within America.
Well, on that note, and by the way, folks, Governor Scott Walker, Young America's Foundation president, Governor, there is a lot of debate on Capitol Hill, the Senate considering a bill that would force TikTok to divest from the CCP. Where do you stand on all of that? Is that an attack on free speech or is this a reasonable thing to do?
Well, I think we've got to be very careful anytime we have these sorts of debates to make sure that we maintain free speech, that we don't give the government any more power than appropriate here. But I think in this case, this is not about banning. It's not about creating a commission. It's not about giving some federal agency authority, but rather just flat out saying a foreign interest that's directly opposed to the United States shouldn't be controlling a major media outlet. During World War II, we wouldn't have allowed Nazi Germany to control ABC, NBC, or CBS. It's not whether we like what they're saying or not, but rather whether or not a foreign interest is having a direct impact on essentially a media outlet here. And I that's why I think the divestment makes sense. An outright ban doesn't, because, again, that's a free speech consideration. People can still be on TikTok under this proposed legislation. It just has to be under an interest that doesn't involve the Chinese Communist Party. And I think that's a reasonable approach.
All right. Good stuff. Well, Governor, we appreciate you coming on the program today. You guys are doing great work. And thank you. We had a great time out there last week.
They loved you.
That was a lot of fun.
They loved your high school conference of the Reagan Ranch. Yeah.
great crowd of folks, and just you got a great staff out there as well. Just super, super good people.
Thanks, Todd. Always good to have you out there.
All right. Thanks, Governor Scott Walker, everybody, of Young America's Foundation president. I write a lot about YAF in the book, and those kids, awesome. Just great students, great staff out there at the Reagan Ranch Center in Santa Barbara. All right, we're going to take a break here. By the way, this coming in from Chad Pergram over at Fox. He says Fox has learned lawmakers are expecting a supplemental spending request to cover at least part of the rebuilding of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is a toll road. Here's a thought. If you're going to spend federal money, take it away from the gay garden clubs in Colorado. Take it away from the late-term abortion facilities, all of the other stuff that was funded in that $1.2 trillion spending bill. Why don't we do that instead? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, a little update here on a story. We have not talked much about this because you never know where these kinds of stories are going to go. So there had been a guy who made some accusations about Matt Schlapp, the head of the American Conservative Union. This guy's name is Carlton Huffman. He was a staffer working for Herschel Walker's Senate campaign, and he accused Matt Schlapp of sexual battery and defamation. Filed a lawsuit, $9.4 million, very scandalous in the conservative world. Said basically that he was driving Schlapp, and Schlapp put his hands where they shouldn't have gone. And it was a big, big to-do. Well, there has been a rather weird development in all of this. It turns out that Mr. Huffman has now dropped his sexual assault lawsuit against not only Matt Schlapp, but also against Matt Schlapp's wife, Mercedes. I think she was the one, she was being accused of defamation. And according to Politico, the guy also issued an apology. He said, quote, "The claims made in my lawsuits were the result of a complete misunderstanding, and I regret the lawsuit caused pain to the Schlapp family. The Schlapps have advised that the statements made about me were the results of a misunderstanding, which was regrettable. Neither the Schlapps nor the ACLU paid me anything to dismiss my claims against them." The Schlapps, or rather, when asked about that statement, Huffman said in a text message, "We have resolved our differences," and confirmed the accuracy of the statement. Huffman had earlier said Schlapp, without consent, groped and fondled his groin while he was driving Schlapp back to his hotel while they were trying to get Walker elected. Huffman had accused Schlapp of then inviting him up to his hotel room, which he said he had declined. All right. It was later revealed that Huffman himself had been accused of sexual assault in an unrelated case. Oh, what's that all about? So anyway, Schlapp says our family was attacked, especially by the left-wing media, focused on the destruction of conservatives, regardless of the truth and the facts. And, by the way, Huffman had also sued Republican activist Caroline Wren for defamation, and now that lawsuit has been dropped as well. So here's where I just thought this whole thing was weird, and it goes back to the beginning, right? So the accusation is they were driving in the night, and all of a sudden, Schlapp allegedly reaches over and starts, doing some stuff. The boot scootin' boogie. Now, it just seems to me that if you're a guy, and this guy claims to be heterosexual, so if you're a guy and you're driving another guy, and all of a sudden that guy is grabbing your private parts, you know what I'm doing? I'm wrecking the car. That's what I'm doing. I'm driving the car into a tree or into a ditch, whatever is necessary to get that guy away from me. That's why this never really made any sense. Why would you not just do something immediately? Anyway, that's just my two cents on all of that. Glad it all got worked out, and what a weird, ugly, ugly story. But that's how the media does stuff. All right, we have the audio now of Donald Trump talking about the God Bless the U.S. about this audio you're about to hear is enraging people on social media. Let's take a listen.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend Lee Greenwood, who doesn't love his song God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our founding father documents, yes, the Constitution, which I'm fighting for every single day very hard to keep Americans protected. Also, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance are all part of this God Bless the USA Bible. And it's just very important and very important to me. I want to have a lot of people have it. You have to have it for your heart, for your soul. Many of you have never read them and don't know the liberties and rights you have as Americans and how you are being threatened to lose those rights. It's happening all the time. It's a very sad thing that's going on in our country, but we're going to get it turned around. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country, and I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. This Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back America and to make America great again is our religion. Religion is so important. It's so missing, but it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong, just like our country is going to come back strong. In the end, we do not answer to bureaucrats in Washington. We answer to God in heaven. Christians are under siege. We must protect content that is pro-God. We love God, and we have to protect anything that is pro-God. We must defend God in the public square and not allow the media or the left-wing groups to silence, censor, or discriminate against us. We have to bring Christianity back into our lives and back into what will be again a great nation. Our founding fathers did a tremendous thing when they built America on Judeo-Christian values. Now that foundation is under attack, perhaps as never before. What can we do? Stand up, speak out, and pray that God will bless America again. I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. Pray, get educated, get motivated, and stand with me and the legions of Americans asking God to bless our great nation, to bring our great nation back, and to make America great again. I'm proud to partner with Lee in this offering. He's a very special man, both as a talent, but maybe even more so as a human being. He's very, very special. And I think you all should get a copy of God Bless the USA Bible now and help spread our Christian values with others. There you have it. Let's make America pray again. God bless you, and God bless the USA.
God bless the USA. Thank you, Mr. President. And defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. All right, keep that thing going. I love that song, Dylan. Did you hear anything inappropriate? Anything that would cause you to think, oh, there's a Christian nationalist? I mean, really? From the lakes of Minnesota. Hold on a second. To the hills of Tennessee. Woohoo! Rocky Top! All right, we're good. I just love that part of the song. So, look, here's the deal. The problem here is that you have a lot of woke evangelicals, and you have a lot of godless heathens out there. And they've got a problem with Donald Trump, but they got an even bigger problem with the Lord. And so it just seems to me that the president of the United States here, Donald John Trump, was out there saying, you know what? We need more prayer in America. I agree with that. He says we need more people reading the Bible in America. I absolutely believe in that, too. Did you hear anything that would cause you to raise your eyebrow and say, whoops, wait a second? And by the way, this idea of, well, he's making money on the Bible. Well, we don't know that. He's just promoting the Bible. He does that a lot. And it doesn't matter, even if he is getting money for it, doesn't matter. Because if you go to a bookstore, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have to buy a copy of a Bible. Somebody's getting money by publishing that Bible. They're acting as if this is the first time in the history of mankind that somebody's actually had to pay for the Holy Bible. Oh, you know, they're really triggered by the fact that it's the King James Version. They don't like all the these and thous. That's what that's all about. So anyway, we'll talk more about this tomorrow and see where the fallout leads. And again, Biden now catching a lot of flack for making a lot of untrue statements during this press briefing on the situation involving the Baltimore Bridge. We're going to keep you updated on that. We're going to be talking more about that tonight, 5 o'clock on my Newsmax show. That's 5 o'clock Eastern. You'll be able to watch the Todd Stern Show. You can actually do that free of charge online. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Online, you can watch on Newsmax 2's YouTube channel, also on Facebook. It's been a wild day around here, folks. Head over to ToddStearns.com. And don't forget, a limited supply of books available at the store. So if you want a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, head over and get one right now. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.